Hi, this is Exposé with your host, Mike Russo, discussing issues of national importance for the next half hour. I have an email address for you to send any comments or suggestions for topics and speakers. It's MikeRussoExpose@yahoo.com. I have a guest coming on in a minute who is a physician and medical researcher with the Life Extension Foundation. Dr. Michael Smith has been on my show before, during which we discussed vitamin D, fish oil, vitamin K2, and coenzyme Q10. Today, we'll discuss the benefits of resveratrol, pomegranate, testosterone, dark chocolate, and green and black teas. Last time Dr. Smith was on my show, we failed to mention that the address of the Life Extension website is lef.org, or you can call Life Extension at 1-800-544-4444. I'll mention those addresses again at the end of the show. So, Dr. Smith, tell the audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from, grew up, went to school.
As an undergrad at the University of Texas in Austin, so I'm a Longhorn, and I do bleed orange, burnt orange, that is. Okay. And from there, I went to the University of Texas Southwestern Medical School in Dallas. After 4 years of medical school, I spent some time at the University of Utah in internal medicine, and then went back to Texas, back at my alma mater of medical school, where I studied radiology, and I've also done some work in cardiopulmonary medicine. My main focus, though, now is really in education, and that's what I do here at Life Extension. My role here is to disseminate all of the great information that we gather from research around the world, and I try to put it in a simple form so that people can use it every day to improve their health.
Okay, just to kind of tie up some loose ends from our last show, the main focus of which was vitamin D.
Yeah.
I saw a physician last week, as a matter of fact, and he said, well, you know, I have this friend, he's also a physician, and he decided to test all of his patients for vitamin D deficiency. And guess what? Every single one, well, except for one, was deficient. One of his patients, out of all his patients, one was not deficient. Everybody else was. So let me ask you this, Mike. How much vitamin D should someone take every day? And I remember you, Dr. Smith, I think saying that you took personally about 5,000 international units a day. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's really, I got to tell you, how much you should take, really, Mike, is all based upon what your blood level is. So all of your listeners need to add to their yearly routine a vitamin D blood test. Because based on that blood test, we can best pinpoint that dose that's going to get them to that optimal blood level, which is around 50 to 70 in your blood. Most people have a blood level of vitamin D around, say, 25 or even less.
Now, is that nanograms per milliliter of blood? Is that what we're measuring? Is that the metric?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it's but the main thing to understand is that we use that blood test, though, to pinpoint dose. So when I told you I was doing 5,000 units, that was because when I checked my first vitamin D blood test, I was taking about 1,000 units a day, and my blood level was around 30.
Yeah.
And we want to get it up to that 50 to 70 range. So I increased it to 5,000 units, and it was at 5,000 units that I was able to get my blood level around 70. So I do personally take 5,000, and here at Life Extension, we do believe that's what most people need to take to support those higher levels. And remember, you want those higher levels because it's those higher levels that give you all the added benefits of vitamin D, not just to the bones, right, to anti-cancer, cardiovascular. I mean, you name it, vitamin D affects just about every cell in the human body, but you got to get that blood level up to get the benefit. And so 5,000 units a day, I got to tell you, I think that's where most people need to be.
Well, my physician was concerned about an overdosing because vitamin D is, I believe it is, a fat-soluble vitamin. And so he wanted to know above what level must you not go. And what I had read in the past, and tell me if this is true or not, I heard that maybe 10,000 international units a day is probably the very maximum that you should take. Right. Right now I take 8,000 as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I know. See, I guess where I disagree with that statement is, again, the focus is on dose with what your doctor is telling you, and that's not what the focus should be on. The focus should be on your blood level. the toxicity that can happen with vitamin D, which, by the way, I've never seen it. What happens when you get too much vitamin D is it can start to change how your body metabolizes calcium and phosphate groups, which are important ions and in minerals in the body. But quite honestly, I've never seen the toxicity with vitamin D.
Well, I never read about it. I wouldn't see it because I'm not a physician, but I never read about it. I do a whole lot of reading.
The key thing, though, is to really focus on your blood level. If your blood level gets above 100, remember we had mentioned before that that optimal range is about 50 to 70, right?
Yeah.
So if you start creeping above 100, at that point, based on your blood level, it's time to cut down on that dosing.
Right, right.
So you use the blood level to guide where you need to be dose-wise. And that whole idea, then, of getting too much vitamin D is really something we don't worry about because we're watching it with your blood level, how much is actually in your blood affecting your tissue. So that's what's key here. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of our listeners were a little miffed at their doctors for not having advise them better on vitamin D. And I'm thinking, my God, you know, you're a medical researcher. This is what you do. You're part of a medical research organization. This is what you do. A regular internist, perhaps a specialist, perhaps a rheumatologist might know, but I would say, you know, don't be too hard on your physicians. They probably, not only that, this is not official yet. I mean, there is some group that will come out one day and say, this is the new recommended daily allowance. This is what you physicians may tell everybody without getting into trouble. What group is that? You know, who says what shall be the official recommended daily allowance?
For vitamin D, most of the research that we look at and that we actually share in producing is with what's a group called the Vitamin D Council.
I see.
The Vitamin D Council is an independent group of physicians throughout the country that look at the research to decide really what's an optimal blood level, and based on that blood level, what would be the optimal dose. But one thing I don't want to, and again, I keep coming back to this because I think it's important. Before you start worrying about dose, you need to get your blood level
blood tested. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's so many people out there that don't even know what their blood level is. Yeah. You know, they may know what their cholesterol is, but they have no clue what their vitamin D level is. And vitamin D is going to impact your overall health much more than a cholesterol level.
So then my physician's friend, he did the right thing, tested all of his patients. That's probably the right thing to do.
That's where you need to start. That's where you need to start. So don't worry so much about here's the other thing that we can offer at Life Extension to all your listeners. Get your blood tested. Get your vitamin D level tested. Know what that level is. Give us a call, and based on that blood level, we can suggest. We're not your doctor, but we can suggest for you an appropriate dose based on that blood level.
Okay.
That's all you got to do.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good, very good. Let's move on.
Okay.
I'd like to talk just a bit about resveratrol, which has been in the news for a long time now, and probably some of our listeners know what it is and what it does, but there is some unbelievable research about what this stuff does. I mean, it has been established, I believe, that one of the ways to increase your longevity is calorie restriction. And I think it's been found that resveratrol, in addition to doing everything else, actually increases lifespan. What does the research on that say?
You said it perfectly. What you just said, Mike, is absolutely true. We know that the gold standard for living a longer, healthier life is calorie restriction.
Right.
Okay. But the problem is most people can't follow a calorie restrictive diet, and some people might overdo it and actually cause some harm to their bodies.
Right.
So at Life Extension, we've been looking for nutrients that can have the same effect that restricting calories has on certain genes. These genes are what we refer to as the anti-aging genes.
Mm-hmm.
They basically are there in the human body to protect your cells from oxidative damage, from inflammation. That's what these anti-aging genes are there to do. And calorie restriction turns those genes on, and it's the gold standard for turning those genes on. It turns out, though, that resveratrol matches the gold standard. It actually turns on those anti-aging genes just as good as restricting calories does.
Yeah. Well, it does a lot of other things, though, too, in addition to
absolutely
that.
Yeah, never forget, resveratrol, bottom line, is a potent antioxidant.
Yeah. In case go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, as everybody probably is aware, we live in a very toxic environment, right? I mean, our water supplies, our air supply, everything is full of toxins, and those toxins produce a high level of what we call oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is one of the leading theories of aging. That's why at Life Extension, one of our first products about in the early 1980s was basically a formula, an antioxidant formula, the first on the market, right, because we knew how important it was to combat oxidative stress. So never forget, ultimately, what resveratrol is, and a lot of these similar compounds that we're finding that are related to resveratrol, they all basically are potent antioxidants. Mm-hmm. So right there, they're offering your body a great deal of protection from one of the leading theories of aging. Mm-hmm. And it goes beyond turning on those anti-aging genes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, we probably need to mention to our audience that resveratrol is the substance, I guess it's kind of mold or something, that grows on the skins of red grapes. So this is, remember the French paradox, why the French eat all this fat and cheese, yet they have less heart disease and heart attacks. Resveratrol, I believe this is it. Tell me if I'm wrong now.
No, that's absolutely right. Now, it doesn't grow on the skin of the red grape. It's actually a naturally occurring antioxidant, a compound found within the skin of the red grape.
Mm-hmm.
And when you extract it, now, of course, it's actually found in other food sources, but it's most easily extracted from the skin of the red grape. So when you pull it out of that red grape and concentrate it in a capsule, you're not only are going to get all the benefits of turning on those important anti-aging genes, you also are just giving yourself a very important antioxidant. And really, that's one of our biggest focuses here at Life Extension, is reduce oxidative stress. Get lots of antioxidants in your system.
And this is a substance that can be purchased, or supplement rather, purchased from a regular vitamin store or from Life Extension. Of course, you sell all these products, right? You sell all these things. But also from a regular vitamin. It's over-the-counter, no prescription. Same with vitamin D. Over-the-counter, no prescription. Get the D3 to get the D. You at Life Extension have a more sophisticated form of resveratrol. I believe you add something else with it, so it's even more potent than something else someone else could buy from.
Well, wait, but let's, if we can back up just for one second.
Sure,
too.
Sure.
If you are going to get your resveratrol from other companies, one of the things I encourage you to do is to look on the label, okay? And you want to, resveratrol in nature comes in different forms.
Yeah.
There's three basic forms, and the main one that we believe gives you all the benefit is a form called trans resveratrol. That's T-R-A-N-S, trans resveratrol.
Okay.
So you really want to do a product that's at least 50% that trans resveratrol. Okay, so that's one thing you can look for. Now, what we're discovering, resveratrol belongs to this family of molecules that are called stilbenes.
Mm-hmm.
Stilbene molecules are these antioxidants found mostly in dark fruits, so your blueberries, blackberries, the red grapes, which is mostly where we get the resveratrol. So a lot of these dark colored fruits have these compounds that are called stilbenes, and resveratrol is kind of like the king of the stilbenes, if you will.
I see.
Well, there's other ones we've discovered that actually help resveratrol work better. They enhance the effect of resveratrol. One in particular is called pterostilbene. Pterostilbene, when you add it to resveratrol, allows resveratrol's activity on those anti-aging genes to enhance. It allows resveratrol to turn on those anti-aging genes for a longer period of time than if you didn't have the pterostilbene. So by mixing those two together, you're getting a synergistic effect. You're enhancing the king of the stilbenes called resveratrol. We've actually, Mike, just discovered a new one, too, called fisetin. Fisetin is another compound that belongs to this family of stilbenes that when you put them all together with resveratrol, ultimately what you're doing is you're enhancing the benefit, the effects that resveratrol has on longevity.
Okay.
So we believe in doing a nice mixture of these different types of stilbenes. And we're about the only company that's looking into these different compounds.
I'm telling you, we're
discovering more and more. So our longevity formulas, if you want to call them that, are becoming more and more complicated in the sense that we're adding more of these stilbene molecules to them to ultimately enhance resveratrol.
Okay, let's move on. I want to talk just for a bit about pomegranate juice.
I'm going to tell you right now, pomegranate is my favorite super fruit, period.
I read about it a few years ago, and I couldn't believe it. The research that you guys talked about in your Life Extension magazine, which, let's mention again, $12 a year, one issue a month. It's the best deal you can buy from Life Extension Foundation. You become a member, that's $75 a year, and you're contributing to research and everything.
And the magazine, when you're a member, the magazine comes with your memberships.
That's right. But if you just want to start out with the magazine, you know, it's unbelievable. And pomegranate juice, what does it do? Well, from what I read, it helps prevent, stop, even perhaps reverse the plaque buildup on arteries. But then in addition, it has a side benefit. People who have prostate cancer, the development, the rate, the growth of the prostate cancer is reduced by 5 times. And they measure that with PSA tests by taking, 6 ounces of pomegranate juice twice a day or something like that there. But tell us a little bit about pomegranate juice. You're the professional.
Well,
you're the doctor.
I got to tell you, I started off in at the beginning, it really is a super fruit. When you look at all the research, and that's if I can make one quick other statement about all this, so many of my medical doctor colleagues will tell me that there's no research that supports these nutrients. I got to tell you, that could not be the furthest from the truth.
I saw the research. I can read. I mean, I'm
it's
not a
doctor.
I can read.
All over the place. Yes. Go on PubMed or even just go to Google and just put in pomegranate, and you're going to see all kinds of studies coming from peer-reviewed journals, which is, as a medical doctor, that's what I look for.
Yeah.
Peer-reviewed
journals, right.
Rigorous science that's been reviewed by experts in the field. And pomegranate, every time I turn around, there's new studies on it.
Okay? So let me ask you this. Last time we spoke, we were talking K2 and how one of the things K2 does is it directs calcium away from the heart, away from the arteries, into the bones and teeth. So now that works then. And it kind of works hand in hand with pomegranate juice, which kind of does the same. Well, it prevents the buildup of the arterial plaque.
Well, yeah, let's back up a little bit and let's talk about, because most of the research on pomegranate really is focusing on the cardiovascular system.
Right.
And you're right. There is some interesting new studies coming out with not just prostate cancer, even different types of blood-borne cancers like leukemias and stuff like that.
We can get there.
But the main area of research with pomegranate focuses on the health of your vessels, the arteries specifically. Yeah. And each artery, Mike, is lined by these cells called endothelial cells.
Right.
You know, when I was in medical school, we were taught, and this was what? This is back in the early 90s, mid-90s. We were actually taught that basically arteries are pipes. They're not very active. You know, yes, they can contract and relax because that's how they can control blood flow. But we really didn't know a lot about them. What we've now discovered is that these pipes are basically probably the most metabolically active organs in the human body. And they're active because these cells, called endothelial cells, they line the inside of the arteries. And basically these cells are responsible for maintaining healthy blood pressure, for actually preventing plaque buildup. I mean, these cells are very important to the health of the artery. And what we know, one of the ways these cells work, and I have to kind of give some of this background information so you can understand pomegranate.
Sure.
That one of the way these cells work, these endothelial cells, they work by releasing what's called nitric oxide.
Right.
Nitric oxide is a chemical that allows vessels to dilate. And we know that the more nitric oxide an endothelial cell can produce and release, the healthier that cell is. And the healthier that endothelial cell, the healthier the artery.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the original research with pomegranate was focusing on nitric oxide production coming from those endothelial cells.
Yes.
It turns out when you give pomegranate, whether it's an extract or the pomegranate concentrate, what you see is a 20, 30, even 40% increase in the production and release of nitric oxide. Basically, it's a direct measurement of how well pomegranate is supporting the health of this very important cell to the artery. So that's where all the original research came from. And we knew based on those original studies that pomegranate was going to be a key nutrient to a healthy heart. And, of course, we haven't been disappointed. More research has now shown that it goes beyond the endothelial cell. Pomegranate supports healthy cholesterol levels, may even help to maintain healthy sugar levels, which, as you know, diabetes is a major risk factor for heart disease. Pomegranate may make the heart rhythm more stable. It actually thins the blood a little bit, which could be a positive thing. You don't want your blood to be able to clot. It's not so easy. And the list goes on and on and on. But ultimately, it's a super fruit because it's a potent antioxidant that improves the health of the endothelial cell. And if that endothelial cell is not healthy, your artery is not healthy. That's where the heart attacks and the strokes happen.
I see. Okay, let's move on. Maybe we can take us a cluster. I'm not sure. You're the researcher and the physician. But I was thinking dark chocolate, green, and black teas. A dark chocolate. Now, I guess it's important to mention that I guess the best dark chocolate has at least 70% cocoa solids. So when
that's correct.
The label, when you buy dark chocolate, it will tell you 55%, 70%, whatever. So 70%.
It has to be set. 70% is the number to look for.
I see.
And it should say it right on the label. Most of the dark chocolate candy bars that you can buy in at health food stores will be about 70, maybe some of them might go to 72%, but it's somewhere between 70 and 72% that you want to look for. But of course, even if it says 70%, Mike, you have to realize that candy bar still has a lot of sugar and fat.
So you don't want to take much, maybe an ounce and a half or something a day. Perhaps, I understand the time of most oxidation is during your meals, so perhaps say half a bar after breakfast, half a bar after lunch, something like that there, or lunch and dinner, whatever.
That's fine. Yeah, you could work it in. I get a little concerned that, you know, even if it's dark chocolate, you can abuse it and eat too much of it.
Sure.
Now,
right.
Of course, our way around that is at Life Extension, we actually take dark chocolate and we pull out the most important antioxidants. We are an extraction company. What that means is we look for the most important part of a food source, and we pull it out and we concentrate it in a pill. We have different dark chocolate capsules.
I know you
that are
do.
The,
However, I like the chocolate better than the capsules.
No. I understand. Hey, I like my dark chocolate too. And so you can have that dark chocolate. You can get that nice sweet taste, but just limit it. But to really get the full effect of the dark chocolate, I think you need to move over to those capsules. Just to give you an idea, one of our capsules in one of our products is the equivalent of about 3 or 4 of those dark chocolate candy bars.
No kidding.
You get no sugar. You get none of the fat. It's pure antioxidants. Just like resveratrol, by the way. Just like pomegranate. The key thing that dark chocolate does for us as an antioxidant is it increases nitric oxide production.
One of your
from
products,
the endothelial cells.
Your green tea polyphenols, I think it has some cocoa solids in that. So you can probably
we do have some mix of products. I don't know if we have actually one mixed with the green tea. We do have cocoa, the dark chocolate antioxidants, what are called polyphenols.
Yeah.
We do have a product that has those in it plus the pomegranate. So you can get a pomegranate dark chocolate combination.
Yeah.
And those two right there, they really do improve the health of the artery by improving the health of the endothelial cell.
But honestly, I do prefer a little bit of dark chocolate. A little bit of pomegranate
juice.
Just
make sure it is, if you're going to do the dark chocolate, it's very simple. Make sure on the label or on the front cover it says at least 70% dark cocoa.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most important part of from the chocolate.
Okay. And then let's move on a little bit to teas. And one of the things about green tea, when I was really reading about it and trying to find out, well, exactly how much green tea must I drink each day? And it turns out that at least 5 cups per day of green tea, and then they're saying, well, black tea does all this other stuff, and I'm not sure. I guess white tea does now too. But how much tea can one human being drink every day?
It also depends on what you're trying to accomplish with the green tea. If you're drinking the green tea simply because you enjoy green tea, then have a couple of cups, and that's all you need to worry about. But we know that green tea and also black tea, what the benefits that they ultimately have really are to two main areas in the body. Number one, easing inflammation in the body. And we do believe at Life Extension that inflammation is the common denominator of all age-related disease. So whether you're talking about heart disease or cancer, it doesn't matter. You have to ease inflammation. You got to keep inflammation in check. And your green and black teas are great for doing that. The other reason people like to do, or we like for people to take the teas, is because they really are good at helping with sugar levels. And controlling blood sugar is incredibly important if you're wanting to live that longer, healthier life.
Yeah.
Now, in order to accomplish those, though, in order to get the inflammatory benefits and the sugar benefits or the healthy sugar benefits from the teas, you would probably have to drink around 20 cups of green tea. Probably around 18 cups.
No kidding.
People just aren't going to do that.
Well, I take your pills now for that. I can't drink that much tea.
One of our green tea pills, to give you an example, one of those pills is equivalent to about 18 cups of green tea.
Yeah.
And it's pure antioxidants from the green tea. Now, the other thing is, I want to get this in real quickly before we move on to the next topic, is the black tea. I did a podcast, which we have available on our website that you can listen with iTunes.
Yeah.
And in this podcast, the title was Black is the New Green Tea. And the reason I feel like that is because black tea, really, when you look at the different types of antioxidants that are in black tea compared to green tea, they are much more a variety of antioxidants. And I believe that black tea in the near future is going to surpass green tea in health benefits. Okay? And you heard that first here at Life Extension.
Okay, and tell me if this is correct or not. Now, you don't hear this mentioned anywhere, I don't think, green tea, black tea. However, you must not take it with milk. Milk negates the effects of those teas. True or false?
You know, it's interesting. A friend of mine who works here at Life Extension, his name is John Finch, and he is from England, and we sometimes have tea with him, and he has some real good organic green tea, and he puts milk in his. So he would tell you false.
Well, no, that's what he does. That's what he
does. Yeah, I know, because he likes his milk with his green tea, so he's going to believe that it's false.
Well, I like it with milk in it, too, but from what I read, it completely negates the effect.
It could.
Same with the dark chocolate. You put some milk, make a milk chocolate, and it negates the effect.
The problem is some of the milk solids that are that you're going to add to the tea, for instance, can actually bind to some of the antioxidants and carry them out of your system before they actually get into your bloodstream. Now, it's not to say you can't add a little bit of milk to your green tea. I mean, you're still going to get some of those good antioxidants, but you might bind some of them, that the milk solids might take some of them out.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in the middle ground. I don't think it's totally false. I don't think it's totally true. I think it depends on how much milk and whether you're doing whole milk, skim milk, that kind of thing.
Well,
too.
I'm going to keep on reading and keep on top of this. I'd like to get to testosterone.
Yep.
And, you know, nowadays you even see it advertised on TV, low T, low T. And, of course, they're talking about low testosterone. The problem with testosterone, however, is fat chance getting your urologist or even your internist to give you some testosterone. Fat chance.
That's unfortunate, too, isn't it?
You know, you look at the levels that they're supposed to be, according to the research that Life Extension has done. They look at total, but they also look at something called free testosterone. Okay, now if you look at what's normal for a 65-year-old person, 75-year-old, it's way, way down there. And Life Extension says, no, you should have levels, say, of a 25-year-old person is what you really are. You try to get your urologist to give you testosterone to get you down.
Yeah, levels. It's going to be really tough.
What do you do? Is there physicians out there that will do?
There are. Yeah, we do. If our health advisors, if your listeners simply go to our website or even call one of our health advisors, we do have a list of innovative doctors that are medical doctors like myself who believe in more of these more youthful-like blood levels for testosterone. You can find a doctor who in your area that will, based on your blood level, write you an appropriate prescription. But we do know, we know this, that as that testosterone level drops as we age, we call that andropause for us.
Right.
The testosterone level drops and the estrogen level goes up. We lose that ratio or that proper balance for a man between testosterone and estrogen. That's what androgen is.
Yeah.
And we know when that starts to happen, things like cardiovascular disease goes up. Even prostate cancer goes up, belly fat. It's interesting. A lot of people believe that if you optimize testosterone levels, that has a detrimental effect on your prostate.
Yeah.
We are showing the complete opposite.
I believed that 2 years ago, and I just followed the research through the year, reading it. Not a physician, just reading it.
Yeah.
And what I read is that that's not true. I questioned it years ago as well.
And I'm glad that's good that you did, because even out of Harvard now, there are some good researchers showing that it's the low level of testosterone.
Well, the book by Abraham Mortenthaler, who is his assistant clinical professor at Harvard Medical School, Testosterone for Life, is his book, which I read, fantastic book, about what it does and does not do.
It's a fantastic book. We offer that here at Life Extension.
No, I got that's where I
we've
got it.
We've studied it. We've researched it. We agree with all the research he's doing. Okay. And bottom line is, based on some of that that really good research he did, we are suggesting more youthful-like testosterone levels for men.
Okay.
We believe that that's important.
Oh, we're running out of time, so we're going to have to go. So many
already?
Thanks to Dr. Michael Smith of the Life Extension Foundation for being my guest today.
Thank you.
And the Life Extension website is lef.org. Its telephone number is 1-800-544-4440. Take care, doctor.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sure. Okay. Well, thanks for spending some of your time with me this morning. Next week, my guest will be making his second appearance on Exposé. I'll have on Kevin Jackson, author of the book, The Big Black Lie. We'll discuss more important national issues that we didn't have time to discuss last time, when Mr. Jackson was on my show. If you like, you can email me at mikerussoexpose@yahoo.com and give me your suggestions for topics and guests. Until next week, at 7:30 a.m. on KNUS 710 Radio, this is Exposé with Mike Russo. Have a good week. Thank you.